Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Miller and Condon on a Wednesday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon and Ken Miller for the next couple of hours. Thank you for spending some of your morning here with us. On the BMW of Des Moines guest list, this is what we plan on doing here today. Starting at the bottom of the hour, Chris Monter, who's covered the NBA draft for decades, he will be here. Get the latest from Chris Monter. Of course, we thought we had some Chris Murray potentially in the draft news to ask. And maybe we still do. We'll get to that coming up in a moment because I do not understand the latest bit of info. One little bit. Pick Trent's brain on that. So Chris Monter up first. 11:05. Adam Rittenberg covers college athletics, specifically college football, at ESPN.com, and he will join us. And then Kyle Irving, our friend from the Sporting News, who covers the NBA, will join us as we take a look, well, ahead, because what can you say about last night other than PU?
Woof.
Those were terrible. 65 combined points was the difference in both of those games. I mean, the one seed won by a combined 65. Didn't some idiot say in the beginning of the week, what are these one seeds? Are they in trouble? Well, that was me.
Yeah.
That was me. The answer, I guess, last night anyway was no. They're fine.
It was not fun.
It's terrible.
Luckily, we had hockey last night.
Well, we did, and the Wild and the Blues were good for a while.
Well, until the beginning of the third period.
And Vladimir Tarasenko, who'd been quiet in these playoffs, he went crazy, filled his hat trick in the third period, and the Wild now head to St. Louis. Winner, go home. Minnesota sports in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And starting to get a taste of it.
It's interesting, isn't it? It just, you have this just deep, deep understanding of what it's going to turn out to be. The Wild have been a well-run organization. They have been successful.
Yep.
But come playoffs, this is now staring in the face of seven consecutive first-round exits.
It's incredible. Look, they can still come back in this. The Blues are really good, though. They match up so well with them. Ryan O'Reilly, the captain, is playing out of his mind. He's so good. He's been in the league a long time. He's one of the few that still doesn't have the visor on his helmet.
Grandfathered in?
Grandfathered in, yeah. There's probably, boy, I don't know, 10 maybe of the dinosaurs left in the game that still don't have to wear the visor. But there was a certain year cutoff. I don't remember what it was, but they're all going to have to wear them eventually. But Ryan O'Reilly, it was unbelievable last night. Good for him. Good for the Blues and their fan base out there, as it looks as though it'll be tough for the Wild to win two straight games. That was good. The Wild and the Wild. The Lightning and the Maple Leafs was good. The late game went to overtime. The Kings, who'd you have? The Oilers?
I had the Oilers. Yeah, to complete the two-game parlay, because I had early on Carolina, coasted in. It's 4-2 when I flip it on in the fourth after I really, that was as viscerally upset I've been about a hockey game in a while. It just, yeah. I was so annoyed.
Right.
And Bob Wischusen, shut up. I understand he's got a roof for both sides, but because I watched the first period on Bally Sports North.
Oh, did you?
And I don't, LaPanta's not my cup of tea.
He's
fine.
He's okay. Yeah. I'm with you. I've been watching the national feeds, too.
But I went over there, kind of liked it initially, and I certainly liked it after they took a 2-1 lead. And
now, 671, you could listen to the Blues feed, I'm assuming, right?
I don't even know who does play-by-play.
Dan Kelly's son, I believe. Okay. Dan Kelly was a famous NHL broadcaster. And Darren Pang normally, but I was on the national feed with you.
Shut up, Wischusen. I was just upset.
There's a lot of people saying shut up at the in the late game.
It was so interesting, though. So the goal right away to begin the third.
And then another one.
But right away after that first one, I know it was like 30 seconds later, a minute later that they scored the second one, but just the air out of the building.
Yeah.
And I, speaking of what you said, Minnesota sports, was it a here we go again?
I got to think that was part of it.
Because
right?
Yes. Up to 2-2, through the two periods, Minnesota was the better side.
I thought so. I mean, Kaprizov was out of his mind early in that hockey game.
And how many great opportunities he had after those first two.
I mean, Trent, it looked like he was elite. I know we throw that word around a lot. He's elite. He's Patrick Kane. I think he's bigger than Patrick Kane. I think he's built, he's a little bit more burly than Kane. They're both so gifted with the puck. They're magicians.
When he took
the puck on, it's like his puck's got a string to his stick.
When he had when he blocked the shot with his foot, did he seem just to tick off after that?
Maybe. I'm sure the sore swelling a little bit. The stinging, vibrating, you can feel it.
And when he went over to the bench for the first time afterwards, and you could see he was in pain, but because he was just a little off, and he had so many good opportunities, and that just left me wondering. And again, not being a guy that knows hockey very well, is that something that can impact you on the ice? You'd
sure,
have to think so.
Absolutely.
And that was not
pushing off.
It was not a little push pass that he took off the skate either.
No, Foligno was unbelievable. Boy, he was laying the lump of the body last night. He was just a freight train, and none of the Blues had any response to him. But the response was on the scoreboard, and they're up 3-2, and they'll head back to St. Louis with an opportunity to clinch. So, what else? NBA stunk. There's really nothing you can say, right? Just both of the one seeds flexed their muscles, and James Harden was the James Harden that we were, pretty critical. Not just us, but people that watch basketball, pretty critical of, with the exception of that last game. But he was bad last night, and Embiid got took one in the orbital bone. Boy, that had, speaking of painful. Ooh, he threw his mask off right away as he was writhing in pain on the floor, but came back into the game. It was just one of those nights where just, I mean, Jimmy Buckets got things going early, and it was on it. Didn't the Yanks score? I don't think he did. Did he? No.
Did he have
0 for 6.
Another scoreless night.
So could you say the Sixers go as George Niang goes, Trent Condon?
He's had some rough moments. I bet a couple of overs in same-game parlays of him. And
I think it's the last game, so Sunday was probably his best game. He had 10 or 12.
He had 10, yep.
In the game, but yeah, he missed every one of the threes that he took, and he took six of them yesterday.
Also shut out in game one of the series. He was 0 for 7 there, and combined 0 of 13 in those two games.
Yeah, look, it's more than him that stuck to join out last night. I mean, Maxie was
awful.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
Just bloody awful. Danny Green made a couple of shots, but not enough shots. It was Miami's night, just like it was Phoenix's night. Now, it was close for a while.
It was a half.
The three-point game, right? 49-46, I want to say. Not a ton of scoring.
I went over in the third quarter, and all of a sudden it's 20.
That's where it ended, Trent. It was all the third quarter. Phoenix just took it to them. What'd they outscore them? 33-14?
Yeah, that's
something
what it was
like
in the third, yeah.
It was brutal.
And
just
there was
brutal.
No comeback.
None. None whatsoever. Well, maybe tonight, right? Bucks and the Celtics feels
that'll be great.
As though that's going to maybe carry the night. There's a couple more game fives in the NHL tonight. One elimination game as Pittsburgh looks to knock out the Rangers and move on to that one. We may be, I shouldn't say that because Washington's in a tough fight now with Florida. But I thought we were headed to Ovechkin versus Crosby one more time.
Not
one
too
more. No, it's been great over the over those two players' history, but not sure we're going to get that. We did get some college football news when it comes to the locals yesterday, TC, and you were all over it, tweeting it from your personal account at Trent Condon, and came up. Bet Rivers has the over unders for if it's not everybody, I just started to scroll and then stopped because my phone rang. I never went back. But the two that obviously move our needle, Iowa and Iowa State, their win totals have come out, and they're both 7.5.
So we talked about this, 3-4 weeks ago, if we were making the line, kind of where we'd be. And we anticipated the Iowa one would be 7.5 because it feels like it's always 7.5. And it's just kind of the way that it's pretty easy to throw that one out there. So that aside, schedule this year a little more tougher. You take out Penn State, but you get both Ohio State and Michigan on the schedule this year. Coupled with their struggles against Wisconsin, doesn't matter where it is,
right.
Even in Kinnick, it doesn't matter. And Purdue, who has had their number.
Yep.
Minnesota, they were lucky to win that game a year ago. Nebraska?
One of these years, you think. But
you need to set special teams play.
Uh-huh.
And you look at the schedule, and it's certainly much difficult, at least on paper, than it was a year ago. So you look at that.
Well, they better go through the non-con undefeated to get the 7.5.
They're going to have to. Uh-huh. I agree with you there. I think, if you can beat Purdue this year, if you can beat Wisconsin, you're feeling good. But are they beating Ohio State? No. They're not going into Columbus and winning.
No, I don't think so. And I think, look, they should beat Rutgers. I don't think it's going to be the automatic, oh, there's a win.
Right.
Shiano's got that program headed in the right direction.
So does Illinois.
So does Illinois.
Bielema knows how to coach football.
Yep. Northwestern, is this going to be one of Fitz's magic? I don't think so, but...
They were a billion times better, and they could have lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
Because an awful, brutal Northwestern team who seems to bounce back after some of these bad seasons.
Now you get them at Kinnick.
Does it matter? Nope.
Right?
History will tell it. No, it does not. So you have all that sitting there, but 7.5, that's a fair number. The juice. Explaining the juice a little bit for the new bettors out there. That also is a big part of these over-unders.
What was it juiced to?
The over is plus 150, meaning
if you bet over, you get plus money.
Yes, so you bet $100 instead of your normal minus 110. You'd bet 110 to win 100. Here you bet 100.
Now you get 150 back.
150 back. The under on the other side is minus 190.
So they're almost going to have to come down at some point, don't you think?
You would think so. If they're already at that spot.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, you'd anticipate that there's going to be adjustment to the number. They hate
but
doing
this.
But
they don't want to. Exactly. Right. They want to give everybody their money back.
Right. It is, unless you're going to go a full game, which I think that would be a really surprise to go that route. So Iowa State was the interesting one because I think you and I came to the agreement if we were putting a line out, we would put it at 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the number that we would come up just with so many unknowns with this Iowa State team. The disappointment of 7-6 last year, that would be a number. Hey, can they be bowl eligible? That would be kind of a fair way to look at it. Over 5.5, that's 6-6. That's bowl eligibility. And, of course, under is on the other side of it. And then it comes out at 7.5.
I was shocked.
I was right there with you. When you look at the Iowa State schedule, of course, going to Kinnick in week 2 with this young team, a team that they have struggled with under Matt Campbell, you have to put that in the L column at the very least when you're kind of W.
There's no question.
Texas Tech beat them last year.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be better. You got to go to Oklahoma State this year. Is Texas going to be better?
Yes.
Baylor's still good.
Right.
Even with the talent they lost.
Right.
Still got a quarterback.
Yep.
They can win games. Oh, I haven't mentioned Oklahoma
yet.
No,
we haven't.
How about TCU? You think there they're going to be better than they were
a
year ago?
I do.
Kansas State?
Yes.
They maybe have a quarterback.
I think I want that can run around a little bit.
Right.
And he's tough SOB.
This schedule is much more difficult for them
this year. It's absolutely. Look, Brock Purdy's got every record. I don't think he's the best quarterback to ever played there. His name is Seneca Wallace. But you push back, not you, but the audience push back hard. Cyclone Nation, right? Purdy's their guy. Now, I did hear, I shouldn't say that. I didn't hear, I saw a tweet that apparently the Fanatics got a call that Deckers is actually better than Elway.
Well,
you can see that, right?
You look at the tape when he's playing up at Wesu Haywarden.
Absolutely.
Of course.
And he just, the first guy he reminds you of is Elway.
Right.
Right. Why don't you guys take more calls?
Bill Elway?
Yeah.
Or is it that John guy?
So, first of all, who do you think it was that called? Because I don't know, but if you had to guess.
Well, it's got to be Derek and New Sharon.
No, that wasn't my first guess. I thought the call probably came from Waterloo.
Oh, Mike and Waterloo.
Just a guess. But regardless of that, Hunter Deckers, he may be great.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to be. Breece Hall's gone.
Right.
Breece Hall is gone. The tight ends are gone. The linebackers are gone. There's a whole bunch of guys in the secondary that are gone. Your kicker, and you finally had one, he's gone.
You got him for a year.
You had him for a year, and he's gone. This is going to be, Matt Campbell to me this year is going to earn his money. If this team gets to a bowl eligibility, good for you, Matt Campbell. Good for you. Everything they've said about you and the statue that they're already designing, absolutely. I understand that now. But this schedule, Jesus, and the fact that, as you said, and you're 100% right, the Big 12, Kansas is going to have a pulse. And the game is in Lawrence. Kansas is going to have a pulse. Iowa State should beat them.
Yes, absolutely.
Iowa State should beat them. They should beat K-State. West Virginia beat them last year.
Right.
You get them at home. 7.5 wins? Really?
Now, if you're going under that total,
how much do you have to? What do you have to bet to make 100? Plus, you have to lay my $130.
159.
Is it that high?
So you're laying a pretty significant. So I had a free bet in my Bet Rivers account of $50. So I threw it. I threw it on the under. So it only returns $31.
Right.
On a $50 bet. So that's what you look at for the Iowa State perspective. But that number,
7.5 wins there.
That was by far the biggest surprise. They're winning 8 games. That's what you're saying if you're going over.
Correct.
This is going to be, they're going to be better record-wise than they were a year ago.
And that was we heard, time after time after time, mm-hmm. best team in school history. They won seven games.
Historic season. Here it comes.
Seven games. This group's going to win more than that? Without those guys that are no longer there? Please.
Are they going to figure out the offensive line for the first time in 6 years?
Well, I don't know why they would this year. They haven't yet.
Right. That's a lot of talent you lose.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a ton. I was stunned when I saw that. I was also a little shocked at the Cy-Hawk line that FanDuel put out was only 6.5 Iowa favored.
So that's had this higher.
Well, Kinnick's a 5-point stadium.
It
so
is.
If you back out the home field advantage, you're telling me that the Hawkeyes are only 1.5 better than Iowa State at this point?
If we played this one, neutral field, Drake Stadium.
Right. Iowa would be 1.5 favorite, please.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
It's got to be over. It's higher than the touchdown. I'll be stunned if this game doesn't go north of 7.
Iowa State's due.
Well, there's that.
Outside of that, though, yeah, it's difficult to come up with a compelling case of why this.
Now I know where you're
going to
go. Well,
a quarterback.
Oh, there you go.
Have they been playing around in the transfer portal? Did I miss some news? Or is it still going to be Spencer Petras that trots out there?
As far as I know, it is. Yes.
That team was awful offensively.
Mm-hmm.
They have been.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go over a touchdown, that means they got to score some points.
Because
I don't think they're going to shut out Iowa State.
No, I don't think so.
Defense will be good, not that good.
Look, Iowa's got kicker question marks for the first time in a long time.
Does Iowa get to 24 points?
If they do, that means if you're going to cash, if I'm going to be right, then you got to hold Iowa State under 14. Well, you know, 16.
Sure.
Because I think it'll be 7.5 for it go at least. Yeah, I still think I would lay the points. I know I would lay the points. I would. If it got 7.5, I would lay the points.
I grab.
Well.
Give me anybody against Petras. That's where I'm at this point. There's not a whole lot of depth to it, but that's where I'd be right now. Mm-hmm. Well, see, we don't even need to bet. We can just bet with each other.
Well,
we don't have to pay the juice.
Yeah. I don't bet the locals, so you're on your own.
I know that.
The other story that it's just a head scratcher to me. I guess I don't understand this move. Help me out with this. So Chris Murray gets the invitation. He gets to bypass the G League combine entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not invited to the G League. He doesn't have to go to the G League where he earns a spot at the NBA combine. So pretty big story yesterday. Arrows pointing up. Teams are starting to really take an interest in Chris Murray. He's got the invitation, one of four players
yes.
that got invited.
Well, there's a bunch of players.
Right, but didn't you? They looked as though they were going to go to the G League
right.
first, but then they thought, you know what, let's just get them right to the combine. That tells me there's legitimate NBA interest there. Register does its story. It posted at 6 o'clock last night. And then this morning, it wasn't even this morning. It was late last night. Remember I asked you about that guy, Jonathan Givony?
Giovanni.
Whatever. But he tweeted that Chris Murray has declined the information from the invitation from the combine. Why?
I don't get it. I'm really struggling up with any kind of reason why you would decline it.
Well, and they combine that, Trent. Did you hear Pops, who was quoted as saying, Chris wants to gather as much information as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where are you going to get more information than if you went to the combine, for crying out, when every NBA team is there? So let me put my tinfoil hat on for a minute. Can I borrow yours?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. Does he have a promise? This is the only reason. I mean, I don't know if he does it. I just don't understand why you would, if you're gathering as much information as we're led to believe, and if there is legitimate interest from NBA teams, as we're led to believe, why would you decline to work out? Or do you have someone getting to Pops? We're going to take him.
Right.
We're going to take him. Keep him away. We're going to take him at, we've got two picks early in the second round, or we're late in the first round team. I don't understand why, because even if he stayed in the NBA draft after going to the combine, you can go back to school if you don't get drafted. Now, the gamble there is you get taken at 58.
Right.
And then you can't go back to school. You are now a pro.
You're locked in.
You're locked in. So that's the downside of it. I can't see the downside of staying in the NBA combine if indeed he's truly wanting to gather as much information as possible before making a very difficult decision.
With your theory that there's a guarantee there, it would have to be a first-round guarantee, wouldn't it?
I think, yeah.
Because there's many people that project him to be a second rounder. So if he's a second rounder,
right,
and if he goes at 32 or if he goes at 52, he's still a second rounder. Mm-hmm. And there are certain guarantees that come along with it from some organizations, but not always. And it's certainly better than it once was with the G League and the way that they can create the two-way contracts. But there is no guarantee. Your first-round pick, though, you got your guaranteed money. You were locked in for, what is it, four years?
Three or four, yeah.
And you are locked in at that price. Mm-hmm. You're good to go. It doesn't
guaranteed.
Matter. If you're sent to the G League, doesn't matter if they even cut you. You still have that guaranteed money. So you would think it would have to be, in that scenario that you laid out, it would have to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, a team that's going late in the playoffs.
The Miami Heat, pick at 27.
There you go.
Pat Riley says, Kenyon, we are going to take Chris.
Mm-hmm. I don't want him in Chicago.
Don't want him there. Don't want anybody else to become an amateur than we are. And we are guaranteeing that we are going to select him at 27. That would make sense. That is something that at least on the surface makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
But he believes in himself, and he believes that he's going to be an NBA player. We've heard Tom Caker tell us that he's continually says he's better than Keegan.
Right.
And he beats him in one-on-one.
Right.
Keegan's going to be a top five pick, possibly.
And if you read the piece in the Skinny Kenny's piece in the Register today, Kenyon's quoted basically not regurgitating what he's heard from all these NBA teams, from what he's heard. The feedback that they've gotten thus far in the process has all been, wow, this kid's really in the last month or so, his game has just taken off. He is a legitimate 2022 draft pick. That's what I'm reading in the piece yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then hours later, he withdraws. So why?
Your theory is the only one that makes sense.
I can't think of anything else. I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Why the hell he would do that?
Because if he's not, then just say you're returning to Iowa.
Right.
If that's the scenario that you're laying out, I'm not going to go through the combine, then just say it's because you're coming back to Iowa. Mm-hmm. Now it's that.
Look, I hope he is coming back to Iowa.
It's great for business.
Right.
Because I think they're going to be an NCAA tournament team
with
again.
With him.
If Chris comes back. But if not, that's going to be an ugly right. season over in Iowa City if that's the case. So I think your theory is the one that makes the most sense. I can't think of anything else. What reason that you could possibly, with the workouts and everything that we continue to hear, they say, no, I'm good.
And the praise that's coming his way.
And you're getting the twin brother of a lottery pick.
Uh-huh. Who's starting to figure it out. And putting this time last year, Keegan was just starting to figure it out. And look at the jump that he made. As the left-handed twin, and we're starting to see maybe that jump was just a year behind, and here we are. I don't know. What could it be? Well,
that's the one that makes the most sense.
We shall see. So I was kind of looking forward to the NBA because we've had these NFL releases, right? These trickle outs all Monday, Tuesday. Monday ESPN went, and then Tuesday we got a little snippet on the Christmas game, and I was looking forward. So Fox put out the one nugget that they gave us today was Cowboys at Packers Week 10.
But
that's it.
What?
Right. That was their big release.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, give us the Thanksgiving Day games. You know, who's in the
late
one?
You can't wait till tomorrow?
I can. I thought we might get him in.
We get a long offseason in front of us.
No, we do.
Let's stretch this out another day. That'll be all right. Speaking of course, the schedule release, our friends at Circa have a release of their own coming up tomorrow.
What have they got?
Well, they're going to be talking about the guarantees that are going to be released.
I thought it was next week. Is it tomorrow?
Well, that's when they're getting all the parameters. Basically, they will be able to officially work together. They will see the schedule and how they're going to put it. They feel like they have everything figured out. But the guarantee.
What was it last year?
$6 million for Circa Survivor. This is your old school Survivor contest. All you do, pick an NFL team every week to win.
Mm-hmm.
And once you use them, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Can't use them again.
You use a team.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the Cowboys against the Jaguars in week one.
Right.
That's done.
Want to use the Packers over the Lions?
Yep.
Better not lose them early because on Thanksgiving Day, that's its own week.
And that's what makes this really tricky. Also this year having Christmas will be its own week. So you have to get through 18-week NFL schedule, but the way they set it up, it's a 20-week betting contest. And our own Ken Miller is going to join it this year.
I am.
Are you nervous?
Yeah. I mean, I've entered one of these once.
Okay.
And it was, I don't remember the year. I remember I was working with Bob Dyer.
Uh-huh.
So 2001. Anyways, whatever year it was, I was out in the first week.
No.
I did not get to week two. And I think I took the Vikings.
Well, see, Minnesota sports. We come full circle today.
Yeah, I mean, it was over 20 years ago, but I don't want to embarrass myself like that. Maybe you should do that one.
You're going to do the pick five a week?
Yeah, that's tough, too.
That is. You have to hit to cash, usually about 65.
I was going to say 3.5 games a week.
Yeah. That's what you have to do to cash to be in like the top 200, something like that, which you usually
pays. But if you do, it's worth it.
Oh, absolutely. They also have inside the pick a five a week contest, it's called Circa Millions.
Right.
They also have, say you get off to a rough start. It's not over because they also have quarterly contests. Mm-hmm. So it's spread out there. And you have a great second quarter of this at the NFL season, then you got a chance to get a little money.
Get paid, right.
Yeah. So it's something that you have to be invested in all season long. And there's also, what do they call it? The guy that finishes last. Isn't there some kind of award for that?
Yeah,
the dummy award or something like
probably
that?
Probably so. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's an award for that. Uh-huh. So if it goes really south, hey, just keep trying to lose games because you can get something at the end.
Even if you try to lose games, I mean, it's the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the NFL. Yeah, so we will be going out there in August. We'll have, we're starting to feel pretty good about what we can release on this. We're going to be out there in August. A whole bunch of our listeners are going to be able to, make their way out there with us. The proxies are going to be there because you can't do it. You can't play in Iowa.
Right.
You have to actually bet through Vegas. So what you do is you get what's called a proxy. I don't know what their fees are.
I think it's usually around $200, something like that.
$200 for the season.
For the
season, and then a percentage. If you win, they get a percentage. So what they do is they place your contest wagers for you out in Las Vegas, and there's a whole bunch of different proxies out there. You know what's really popular proxy is Kelly in Vegas on Twitter.
Yep.
I think that's what she's got her own but there's dozens of them.
Yes. And when we're out there at Circa that week, it'll be the second weekend in August. You can come out with us. We're going to have hopefully some discount codes for hotel rooms for our listeners out there, but you'll be able to come out there. We're going to have a couple events going on, but most
we're
importantly,
at Bar Canada on Friday night.
Yep. Going to have a little cocktail party at Bar Canada on Friday night, do something at Stadium Swim on Saturday, but we're also going to have the ability for you to run into some of the proxies. Circa has a couple that they work very closely with. Mike Palm will be able to help you out. All the people at Circa will be able to help. So mark off your calendar right now. You're looking to go to Vegas sometime, head out there with us. It'll be August 12th and 13th will be that weekend. Mark it off right now. Talk to the somebody special at home and say, I'm going to be gone that weekend, or bring her with, whatever it is. But we're going to have a really good time out there and an opportunity for you to sign up for either the contest, Circa Millions or Circa Survivor.
All right, we'll come back. Going to get into the NBA draft. Chris Monter is going to join us. You have the keyword strength. I do not. It's time for another $1,000 home run. Right now, you can enter this nationwide keyword at KXNO.com. The keyword in the 10 o'clock hour is
Bills.
That's Bills at KXNO.com. Bills at KXNO.com. Another chance coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Bills at KXNO.com. Chris Monter next. Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
/ careers.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon. About 25 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Well, it must be that time of the year, Trent. The NBA draft must be appearing on our radar as we get our friend Chris Montour, who's joined us for years to talk about this draft once it gets closer. Keegan Murray, a lottery pick. Chris Murray, will he or won't he? And Chris Montour back with us for the first of, I'm assuming, a handful of appearances before we get to that draft. Chris, good to reconnect with you. Trent and Ken in Des Moines. Thanks for coming on, Chris Monter. How are you?
Great to be with you. How are you guys?
Good. Today? Good, 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 good. So I want to ask you about just your thoughts on Chris Murray, who, as you saw, was invited to the NBA Combine. He just jumped right through the G League Combine and got the big invite. Looked as though he was going to go. His dad saying, just how many NBA teams are noticing his rise in his game. And And then we get the news last night that he's not going to go to the NBA Combine. I don't understand why you would pull out at this point. Is it a slam dunk now that he's going back to school? He says he's keeping his name in. If he is, why not stay in the Combine?
You know, that would kind of be my thought as well. I always feel like when you want to be evaluated, whether you're a singer, you know, auditioning in front of producers or actor, you know, doing the same, you know, the more people that can see you, I always feel like the better. If you're a big, big star, you know, like a Tom Cruise or whatever, you don't really need to audition anymore. But I always feel like worst case, you're going to maybe hear some things you need to work on, maybe things that will make you better as a player by coming back. And you never know what can happen. I remember years ago, back in the old Chicago Combine back in the day, Jamal Crawford was a player I actually talked to a lot. Had a great performance the first day. All of a sudden, he was quote-unquote injured and didn't play again, ended up being the eighth pick. And, you know, I talked to him. He was not injured at all. He just knew that his stock probably was never going to be higher than it was. So my feeling is, why not perform, see what happens, and then go from there.
So we have this going on, and we'll probably get more into Chris and the decision from him. Of course, his brother Keegan going to be a lottery selection, maybe as high as the top three. I think CBS Sports had him as the number three pick in their mock draft that came out just the other day. When you look at Keegan, a guy that played at a high level, made the leap this year, what do you see in how his game translates to the next level? Some people say maybe the most ready guy coming into this draft.
Yeah, obviously he has great bloodlines. You know, his father was a great player for the Hawkeyes as well. You know, 6'8", 225 pound player who can, you know, shoot from three-point range and play inside. I think a pretty good passer. You know, that wasn't obviously his role, but can see the double teams, can hit the open player, has a good quick first step. Like I said, shot about 40% from three-point range. You know, a good athlete. So I think he's definitely a player. You know, I would expect to see him on the top, say, 5-6 picks in the draft.
Interesting. What's your concern, if anything, about him, Chris?
I don't know if there are a ton of concerns. Obviously, he made big strides from his freshman to his sophomore season. You'd like to see that. You know, I think maybe the knock would be, what position is he? You know, is he big enough to be a power forward? Is he more a small forward? But you watch the NBA more and more, you know, it's almost a positionless game. You don't really see the dominant centers like you used to. There's a few, obviously, Jokic and B and Carl Anthony Towns, but you watch those players, and they're outside, you know, shooting threes a lot as well. So I think that would be the one question mark. You know, pretty much like every defensive player at that level, going from high school to college and then college to pro, you know, can he guard those top players? But there's a reason those players are great players. You know, they're hard to guard. So I think that would be one question mark as well.
A couple other local guys want to get your perspective on, starting with A.J. Green of Northern Iowa. He was invited to the G League camp. Still trying to make a go of it, and if he doesn't, he's also in the transfer portal. Many people connecting the dots that he'll end up at Iowa State, where his father is an assistant coach. Your thoughts on A.J. Green, first as an NBA prospect, and if he would make the jump and leave the MVC to go to, say, a Big 12, how that would translate in your mind?
Yeah, very talented player. Obviously was the Missouri Valley Conference player twice, was injured the 1 year, or maybe could have been a three-timer. Yeah. Very talented player. I got a chance to see him as a high school player. Always liked his game. He could have played at a much higher level even back then. Kansas, Minnesota, a lot of big-time programs were recruiting him. To be honest, I'm really good friends with his dad, so I talked to him quite a bit. So you're right. I think there's a reason that a lot of people in Ames are hopeful that he could end up there. That would make a lot of sense. I know he spent most of last year, his family at Cedar Falls, AJ's mom has a very thriving chiropractic office, so Kyle would, you know, basically drive from Cedar Falls to Ames and back and forth. So obviously it would make some sense for him to try and go at a higher level. I think most people thought he was always capable of that. The main reason he ended up at Cedar Falls was to play for his dad and the relationship that he had with Coach Jacobson and the other coaches. So, you know, obviously a very talented player. I think, again, you know, why not be seen? I always feel like even if you're, you know, not really a pro prospect, any chance you can get seen. And I remember back in the day, you know, pre-internet, I've been doing a lot of stuff about the draft. You know, I didn't have teams call me about guys that were on that NBA draft list. I remember the very first year I went to Orlando for the Orlando Classic, which was for the top seniors. That year there were seven players that were underclassmen that put their name in the draft. Five of them were drafted. Last year I had over 200 players.
That's wild.
So as that number continued to grow, I would get calls about kids, you know, from some obscure college just because teams would want to do their due diligence. And sometimes, you know, I even did a story on a few of them, why they put their name in. Some of them just get it kind of as a joke, you know, just to see their name, you know, in the, you know, AP and the back in the day when they had the transactions. I think they do have them in the paper, but, you know, some just put their name out. But teams would call me, say, hey, should I really know about this guy, or is this just a name, you know? But I always feel like worst case scenario, you as a player are hearing from NBA teams, and worst case scenario, maybe that team says, hey, we should go check out that kid. I remember his name on the list.
Wild the way that goes out. Hey, one other local guy, and I think it came as a surprise to a lot of people, Isaiah Brockington, formerly of Penn State, finished up his career last year at Iowa State. Really talented guy. Not tall by any means, but as good of a mid-range player as you're going to find, certainly in college basketball last season. Brockington, though, didn't get an invite to the G League Combine. How surprised were you by that?
Well, again, I feel bad for players that are seniors. You know, he's 22. I think he'll be 23 in July. So he's a little bit older. I always look at it the other way. I feel like a player like Brockington, who's played, you know, at a high level, Penn State, Iowa State, had a very key reason for Iowa State, who was expected to be, you know, a little bit better than last year when they didn't win a lot of games, obviously. But, you know, it was one of the reasons they were ranked where they were at one time back in December, January. I think he's a player who's been through the wars. He's played over 120 college games, played at a high level in the Big Ten, Big 12. So he's maybe more ready to step in. I think the one knock on him would be that he's a good, not a great outside shooter. You know, shot less than 30% a couple years at Penn State, but had a better year this year. As you mentioned, kind of a little bit of a tweener, not necessarily as big as a prototypical shooting guard, you know, not really the ball handler at the point guard, but can play both guards. He's physical, strong, you know, can guard. So he's a player, you know, maybe could go in the second round, worst case goes undrafted, but could make a team as a free agent because I think he's more ready to step in. You look at the NBA, and obviously you guys are near Iowa, the Wild and Des Moines there, you know, there's a lot of players that have to spend time, even first-round picks, to get more season to develop as players. And I think he's a player, you know, because he's played 120 games, could maybe make an NBA roster. And again, you're probably getting him relatively inexpensively. So he's a player, if you're, you know, have some salary cap issues, he's a player. Maybe you could have as your, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th man.
NBA scouts, the NBA draft, Chris Monters joined us. He's been on this for doing this for decades. I want to get your take on Chet Holmgren, who doesn't, I don't think he's 200 pounds soaking wet. I mean, 7 foot tall, but I believe he's like a 190 something. Your thoughts on how his game projects to all of those men that he's going to be playing against in the NBA?
Well, you're right. That's going to be the biggest question mark. He's a Minnesota kid, so I've written a lot about him in the past. His father also was a very skinny player. He played at the University of Minnesota. Unfortunately, had some knee issues and never really lived up to expectations back in the day. But, you know, Chet, one thing I like about him, he's actually a super nice kid, one of the nicest kids you ever get a chance to talk to. Very humble, really good teammate, has always been a winner. You know, won several state titles with Minnehaha Academy, where he played along with Jalen Suggs, who was a very high pick in last year's draft with Orlando. You know, obviously, like you said, has unique skills, can shoot the ball, handles the ball extremely well for a 7-footer, you know, can block shots, can definitely be a presence on the defensive end. But the big question mark is that size. 195 pounds might be generous, like you said. Does he guard the bigger physical players, you know, in the NBA? There aren't a ton of them because, like I said, the NBA has become such a perimeter game, but he's going to create a lot of matchup problems on his own. Obviously, you know, 10, 15 years ago when the game was, you throw it into the post, he, you know, backs somebody down and scores inside. You know, maybe Holmgren isn't a successful player, but the way the game is now, where, you know, 25, 30, 40% of the shots are three-pointers and the game's more spread out, more positionless, I think that helps him. So I definitely would see him, you know, as a top three, top four pick.
Let's go over to what many people anticipate the top of the draft. Is it Paolo Banchero for you? Is he the number one guy in this class?
I think he's one of those. I don't think there's a consensus number one. I think there are, you know, three or four players. You mentioned Holmgren. You mentioned the Duke freshman. I think Jabari Smith, another freshman out of Auburn, another player who's got, you know, a basketball bloodline. His father was a standout player at LSU. And then I think you look at Jaden Ivey, a very talented guard at Purdue. 6'4", can play both guard spots, very physical. You know, one of the reasons the Boilermakers had such an outstanding season. But I think any of those four I can see going number one. I think there isn't that consensus number one. Again, a lot will maybe be determined by the lottery, which will determine who has that top pick. Obviously, Houston, Orlando, Detroit, teams that had high picks last year. Detroit had the number one pick. Houston had the number two pick, and Orlando had the number five pick. Those teams are all back in the lottery and are hoping to add a really quality player to kind of get that rebuild going.
If Ochai Agbaji, now he probably wouldn't have got drafted because his game really came together the longer he was at Kansas, but he's coming out after a senior season. You mentioned a lot of freshmen going to go early, and the NBA seemingly wants those guys, right? The birth date matters when it comes to the NBA draft. How much does it hurt Agbaji that he went through his senior season before turning pro?
Yeah, you're right. Obviously, I think you looked at, you know, a player like Obi Toppin a few years ago was a more of a veteran player, you know, at eight with the New York Knicks. He's probably a player that maybe goes in the late single digits, worst case, I think early, you know, double digits. So maybe, you know, in that 10 to 12, 13 range. Again, I look at a player who made strides every year, and people are going to question what his upside, what his ceiling is, because he's a whopping 22 years old, which I always think is kind of crazy. But again, a player who improved every year at Kansas and obviously was one of the big factors for them being national champion. You know, he was definitely on my Wooden Award ballot. I helped pick the players for that award. You know, lean, but yet very strong, 6'10 wingspan, very good athlete, really worked on his outside shooting. You know, had a very good year this past year, shooting over 40% from three-point range, shot over 50% from the field. You know, improved every year as a free-throw shooter. Very good rebounder for his size. You know, again, a little bit on the small side as a small forward, but if he plays more in the shooting guard spot, you know, has good size at close to 6'6". So I think, again, you're right, that age probably works against him a little bit. You know, he's going to be, I think he just turned 22 in April. So, you know, a little bit older player. But again, I always look at those players as maybe being more ready to step in right away.
Well, Chris, in the weeks ahead, we will not only talk NBA draft, but really pick your brain because you cover AAU as closely as you do, et cetera, on what Iowa and Iowa State, their incoming classes. We'll pick your brain on that in addition to the draft next time we talk in the weeks ahead. Chris, as always, thank you for doing this for us. I look forward to catching up with you down the road. Thank you, Chris Monter.
Yeah, definitely. I actually got a chance to see a couple of players, Bryce Stanford and the Iowa Barnstormers this past weekend. So definitely would love to talk to you about that down the road as well.
Absolutely. Count on it. Thank you, Chris. Take care.
Thanks again, guys. Yep. Have a great day.
Yep, here's the same. Chris Monter, as we catch up on the NBA draft.
Stand by for news.
Oh, breaking news, Sounder.
What have you got?
Iowa assistant coach Kirk Sparrow is retiring.
Right away?
Right now. It's happening.
Huh.
Now it's just moments ago from head coach Fran McCaffrey. Kirk Sparrow is going to call it a career that started as an assistant way back in 1980, a grad assistant on the Final Four Iowa team, and going to call it quits. So Iowa is now looking for their second assistant coach.
40-plus years. Yeah, you've earned your rest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for you. Yeah, this guy didn't see it coming at this time of year, right?
No, right, yeah. It's something you think you'd see, you know, maybe in April.
Mm-hmm.
It's still May.
Mm-hmm.
There's still plenty of time here, but now, what does that mean for the staff?
That's too.
Fran has a very tight group of people that he's gone through. You know, Billy Taylor left, and we just move up the guy that was. So, do they go outside? Do they go outside kind of his circle, if you will?
Well, there can't be many two left in that inner circle, right? Especially, I have to think you have to almost. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm guessing Skinny Kenny and Lystico show, it's 6 o'clock. May have changed over the last 24 hours, and this will be on as well. Well, they've got they take the air tonight at 6. We'll take our time out, come back, and finish the hour. Thanks to Chris Monter, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Grinnell. And when you're really, really frustrated and you're losing,
Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. As we told you earlier, the Cyhawk line came out yesterday. FanDuel.
FanDuel's the one that
FanDuel
has that.
Put it up at 6.5. The number's moving. I'm shocked.
Not the direction you were anticipating.
It's going the other way.
Spencer Petras.
The Spencer Petras factor.
It is down now. Iowa State just getting 6 points. Not only that, the juice has been adjusted. You have to lay -115 with that +6 with Iowa State, -105, -6 with Iowa. There's also two other games listed with the Hawkeyes.
Here we go.
Games of the year, if you will.
From Nebraska and Wisconsin?
Nope.
All right, lay them on me.
The two out-of-division games.
Oh.
Iowa-Michigan.
Yep.
And Iowa at Ohio State.
So they host Michigan.
They do. That's a Kinnick.
And Michigan is a... They represented the Big Ten, pounded them in the championship. Michigan 6.
4.
Michigan 4. Okay.
Let's go to Columbus.
Oh, boy. Where the Buckeyes are giving Iowa...
You got that part right. Yes, they're favorite.
I don't know if I want to go over double digits. I'll go 9.5.
You're not even close.
What is it?
21.
Jesus.
You're getting 3 touchdowns. And Petrus will go in there.
Yeah, the quarterback's kind of a push in that game, Trent.
Oh, Jesus. Ooh, oh, boy.
21.
Yeah. That's significant.
Hide the kids. Jesus. 21 points. Give me the points.
Hawkeyes are the 3 touchdowns.
21. When was the last time Iowa got 21 in football?
And the last time they played Ohio State? Wasn't that big.
I don't think it was. 21. Yikes. Hour 2. Adam Rittenberg kicks it off. NBA conversation. Cappy, by the way, had to move to tomorrow. If you're a fan of David Kaplan, we hope you are. He will join us tomorrow. Miller and Condon, hour to go. 106.3 KXN.